The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First up, we take a manifold look at faith so that we can get our bearings on something that has no bearings. Also, does faith require human accomplished perfection? Because if it does, neither I nor you nor anyone else has ever had faith. And finally, faith is not only a moment, even if at times it is a moment. It is beyond a single moment. In truth, it's a plethora of moments. It's a lifestyle. I hope. Now, listen to what I just said. It's a lifestyle. I hope it doesn't get discriminated against.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. How much more? A lot more. Just a ton more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you know, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us directly while we're on the air, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, you can call in for a number of reasons, for prayer requests, for praise reports, for the opportunity to share something that's going on, make a comment about something as long as you keep it cool, for Bible trivia as well. We're going to be praying for somebody, I think, in the next little bit. I'm going to be praying for a friend of Eric. Eric ran into somebody, and his name is Ron, and we're going to be praying for Ron. Ron recently had a loss. Ron's an older gentleman, had a big loss in his life, and we want to pray for that. We're going to do so in just a little while, probably in the next segment. Here's what I want you to know. What I want you to know is I'm not going to use phrases like it's a safe place or this or that. We're a family of brothers and sisters doing our best to push it forward as we get closer and closer to our Heavenly Father, allowing the trumpet to be blown and Jesus Christ coming back to receive each and every one of us. I mean, yes, yes. Or you might say that he's going to take each and every one of us, or translate each and every one of us, or rapture each and every one of us, or grab hold of each and every one of us. It's like, just come, Lord, before the show is over. We want you to come. Wouldn't that be wonderful? All right, let's start it off, though, with Bible trivia. Until the Lord does come back, we will occupy and move forward. Paul prayed how many times to have his thorn in the flesh removed? Always open up with an easy one to keep things simple. Think you know the answer? You're welcome to call in 972-445-0770 or text 214-210-8483 or you can email. How you doing, T? Doing pretty good?
Blessed and highly favored.
Oh, blessed and highly favored. All right, let's keep it super duper easy. It doesn't even seem like we have a half hour extra show, do we?
It really doesn't.
It's like the same thing.
It is.
Kind of weird. Okay, DNA. We want to do DNA because we heard there's going to be news. I got a news flash that news was coming and that more news was coming. And so how should Christians respond when there is new news, old news, new old news, or future new old and new old and used news? Whatever it is, we should walk in our DNA, the structure we were built in. Let's go together. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily,
which means you don't option in once a week or even twice a week. It's every day. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what Jesus said, even if you don't understand it all. You know, the Lord who saved you knows what he's saying. That's D, N, and the A stands for always be ready.
To serve
on a regular basis, ready so that if the Lord says, I need you, you're like, here I am. Yes, sir. Here I am. I'm ready to go. Draw closer to the Lord has a lot to do with love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And always be ready to serve has a lot to do with love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's a reason for that. I will say. Okay, a trivia question. We're going to hit that again, and then I'm going to go into this. This teaching is really, I think it's kind of cool. You guys, I hope you like it as well. The question was, how many times did Paul pray to have this thorn in his flesh removed? He prayed how many times? Okay. I will state, just for the record, that after he did pray whatever that amount is, God said to him, no. It's like people hate that part of it, but it's part of it. You can't do anything about it. Let's talk about faith a little bit, okay? So most people will use the definition of faith as provided for in the Bible. I think it's probably the best definition you could probably get to. Hebrews chapter 11, 6 talks about faith in a broader context, but, you know, faith is what? Now, you think about faith. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. Because that's the Bible that I have right in front of me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Now listen to that. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. And I always see this as two sides of the definition. Some people see it as one definition. I kind of see it as two. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In other words, faith is being sure and faith is being certain. But those things that we are sure of and that we are certain of are not the tangible 2 + 2 = 4 chalkboard that you're used to. Faith is critical. Why is faith critical for a Christian? Because in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. People go around all the time and they go, well, no, that's not what it means. Okay, let's try it again. Let's just do it together as a group. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's not possible. You cannot please. In fact, Abraham was counted as righteous because of his faith, even though it was 25 years later that the depth of the testing took place of that faith. He believed at the moment. And that's what made him right with God. God counted that faith, get this, so theological, as righteousness. And that faith is critical for you and I to operate in. My time always eludes me when I get into teaching. And I want to say something about faith. The first thing I want to say, it's often radical. You know that you have acknowledged that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. You know that happened 2,000 years ago, right? Yet you believe. You might not consider that radical, but somebody who does not operate in faith would consider that radical. Faith is often radical. In fact, when David took on Goliath, the best that we can tell, Goliath was probably about 9'6". Some say 9'2", some say 9'4", probably 9'6". To give you an idea how tall that is, and I've used this example before, Shaquille O'Neal, big guy. Not a small guy, big guy, right? This guy would have been 2 feet taller and then some over Shaquille O'Neal. Just think how big that is. It's like, dude.
That's like, I think huge. It was another word for tall.
I mean, that is just like, right? Goliath was about 6 inches shy of the rim on a basketball court. How about that?
That's huge.
He could have dunked with his nose. Maybe that would make you help understand. I mean, he could have jumped up with his chin and went, huge. And yet David, who is nothing in that realm, went, oh, I can beat you. Oh, I can beat you because God is with me. I can do it. I mean, the king of the universe is on my side. Yeah, you don't have a chance. In fact, dude, I'm going to take your sword. This is what David told him. Okay, it's modified, but work with me. He said, I'm going to take your sword, and I'm going to chop your head off with your sword. How radical was that faith? Here's the funniest part. Not as radical as somebody thinking that 2,000 years ago, somebody died, was buried, and then 3 days later rose again. That's a radical faith. That's you. You have that radical faith. And that pleases God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But you believe. You've prayed prayers to an unseen God. And then he's manifested the answers so that you can see it. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? All right. We have a trivia question, which can they hold for the – see if they can hold for the trivia answer, and then we'll bring them back to that. Otherwise, I can't do it just because we're out of time. See? Hard breaks still work. See how they work? But I want you to really catch this. You are radical in your faith, and you should be, and you should recognize that. You believe in Jesus Christ who lived 2,000 years ago, that he died on the cross 3 days later. After he died, he rose again. And you believe that. You weren't there. Yet your faith says yes. That's radical, right? I'm going to take a break and then we're going to come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Verse 24 in Mark 5, it says Jesus went with him. Sometimes Jesus went there. Sometimes Jesus just spoke the word. Sometimes Jesus went there. It happens in all different ways. I did read this ridiculous thing from this one person who said, you know, Jesus, you know, healed, you know, every single person in the entire community and didn't charge anybody any money. They were trying to make a political argument. And the fact of the matter is he only healed one guy at the pool of Bethsaida, and that was actually a hospital. It's like, what do you guys read this stuff? So this is where you pull back from those kind of things and you go, can we just keep it on track with the truth? It's just easier if you just tell the truth and keep it the way it is and not try and make it fit some kind of narrative. Here's this narrative issued by Scripture itself. Jesus tells Jairus, don't you know, ignore what these people are saying. Don't be afraid. Take a stand. Now, I'm going to read verse 37. You got to catch what Jesus does. Amazing. He did not let anyone follow him in except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why is all this commotion? Why all this wailing? The child's not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. And he put them all out and took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, Talitha kaum, Talitha kaum. And that means, little girl, I say unto you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. Remember the woman of the issue of the blood was 12 years of the issue of the blood. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Jesus was still ministering to this little girl, even though she was physically raised from the dead. He wanted to make sure she was taken care of. That's how Jesus is, okay? But what I want you to get is Jesus and the disciples and the parents, so they're all there, right? Because you got the parents there as well, right? And everybody's going, she's dead, she's dead, she's dead. And they're making fun of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Kicked him out. You know, for everybody that thinks that everything Jesus did was pull a flower out of his sleeve like a magician and just smiled and gave everybody an air high five, that's not how it went. Okay? They laughed at Jesus, and he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and disciples along with him. What did he do? He cleared the air. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Somebody's been on hold for the whole 3 minutes. They deserve brownies. That's my attitude. All right, they're answering the trivia question. Paul prayed how many times to have the thorn in his flesh removed? Here I go. This is David. Who's this who deserves brownies?
This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you? All right, here we go. Paul prayed how many times to have this thorn removed?
I think it was three.
That is correct. Three. That is right. He prayed three times, and I love this text only because he prayed, and it's okay to pray consistently and persistently for something. That's, in fact, encouraged all throughout Scripture. But in this particular case, and being the apostle, and being somebody who's writing Scripture, God said, no. People like to pray until they get the yes, but sometimes the answer is no.
Exactly. God knows best.
Exactly. Exactly right. Excellent job. Thank you so much for holding on. By the way, we owe you brownies just for that.
Thank you. Y'all have a good day.
All right. Thanks. God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was a long time to hold on for that, just for the three. But she did a fantastic
job.
I'm
ordering brownies.
Okay. If they get past you and I to her, that would be like the first physical miracle from the show, because I just don't see that happen. I'm just saying. I mean, if there's brownies, like, what? You know. Okay, so got a lot to cover. We want to give Coach and Texas Air King an enormous amount of props, of course, for being so supportive and loving caring about supporting what we're doing, and also caring about the people that he's been taking care of. So that is relatively important. Let me just double check. So do we want to get this person first, or do we? Okay, let's do the Texas Air King, and then we'll put Gary on the phone. Okay, so go ahead and play the Texas Air King.
Up next is Bible Trivia, sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Make sure your home is comfortable in any weather and contact the AC coach today. Call or visit him online at TexasAirKing.com.
All right, don't forget TexasAirKing.com, 214-884-COLD. All right, this is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary.
Hey, Gary. You calling in to get some prayer? Because we're going to do some praying. So are you ready to get some prayer?
Yeah, that's what I wanted, a prayer.
You got it. Anything specific, or we want to just call it health?
Healing, for
okay.
Healing.
Okay, you got it. Let's pray together, okay?
Okay.
All right, everybody in the audience, I need you to bring your faith in together with me so that we lift up our combined faith in this situation. Lord, we come before you on behalf of Gary, and we ask you, in the name of Jesus, that you would reach into Gary's body and bring healing. He needs a physical healing from you, Lord. He needs a touch from the King of life and the King of the universe. And you are also known as Jehovah Rapha. You are a God who heals. And we are petitioning you, and we'll keep doing so. And we will petition you until, Lord, you say yes. We will keep knocking. And we ask for your graciousness to be in his life And we ask for healing and for the peace of God and for the grace of God to fill his mind, and that he would be focused on you and he would sense the great and grace that comes from you. He would know that you are great, that you are there, that you are for him and you're not against him. And you're with him, even though he doesn't understand it all or doesn't like it all, and I agree, but he surrenders to you. And we ask for healing in his life by the power of Jesus Christ and by the authority of Jesus Christ. We lift him up and we pray for him, Lord, and we ask for good news to come out of his mouth, testimony-wise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, and I thank you.
I thank you too, brother. God bless you.
Listen, I've been praying for all of you too.
Thank you, brother.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
That. And you know what? I want to take this out. We're going to piggyback before we do the thing. I just want to pray for this Ron gentleman that Eric ran into. We're just going to pray for him and the audience. You know, everybody just hang in there. This is what we do. This is what we do in life. Lord, we lift up Ron to you, who Eric had the opportunity to meet with. Dark time, hard time, as his wife passing on and being an older gentleman and now being alone. We just ask you to comfort him as well and let him know that there's fellowship, there's people, and we just thank you for the meeting that him and Eric had just at the most simplistic, basic element, that this man, Ron, had a chance to fellowship with another one of your kids and be inspired and encouraged by that. And we lift him up, and we lift everybody up. We know there's trials right now, and there's troubles. There's physical troubles and financial troubles and directional misunderstandings. It's just like not nailing it down. And the world is throwing everything it can at us, Lord. But we are going to stick with your truth. And your truth says in Isaiah 26:3 that you will keep the person in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you because they trust in you. And we ask for that peace to reach out to every person who's hearing my voice. Let them focus on you and let your peace prevail in their hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. All right, so, and we'll pray for anybody. We'll pray for anybody at any time, any situation. Even if we don't understand it, we can trust God to bring it to God and lift it up before his presence, right? I mean, we can do that. All right. So, for Texas Air King, we do have a trivia question that we do want to offer up. Pretty straightforward, a little more challenging, I might say. Okay, so if you know the answer, great, text it in, call it in, but I'm going to go right into the teaching after I ask the question. A man who has his quiver full of them is happy. What is it that's in the quiver? In other words, the scripture says the man who has his quiver full is happy. But what is being talked about in that psalm? What's in the quiver? I think... You are the weirdest person on radio, Dave. You have no idea how bizarre it can be. Let's go back. I want to figure. I want to go back to this. So faith is something that is often radical, and every one of you has radical faith. I know you don't think of it as radical. Oh, I didn't put my foot out over the boat. Okay, well, yes, you did, because you're saying Jesus is alive 2,000 years later. So that's the foot over the boat. Okay, faith is not just radical. Can I tell you this? I want you to really understand this. Faith has an expectancy. I think a lot of people think that you pray and then you've done your job by praying, and then you don't even think about it again, or you don't address it, or whatever the case may be. Let me say something that I think is important, and that's coming out of Mark 11:20-24. In the morning, they went along and they saw a fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them." Verse 24, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Nah, is that name it and claim it? No. Stop. Everybody, stop that. But when you pray, there should be an expectancy that God answers. Unlike the early church, who in Acts chapter 12 prayed for Peter to be delivered, and then when Peter came knocking on the door, they went, no, it isn't. Even though they had prayed and asked God to deliver Peter, and then God said, okay, here's the answer, and Peter came knocking on the door, and they were like, nope, it's not him. Nope, don't believe it. Because they had lost any sense of expectancy. And just because we're 2,000 years post these people doesn't mean we don't do the exact same thing. When you pray, there has to be an expectancy. The Lord is responding to your prayer. He's not looking for you to pray and then walk away and just go, ah, whatever. Eh, I threw up a prayer. Who knows? Could happen. Maybe will. Maybe won't. I mean, I'll share something with you. I wasn't going to share it, but all right. So that faith, and I've mentioned this before, and it's just absolutely what happened. I remember I was a young Christian, and my faith was pretty on fire, and it was told to me that I needed to get a job. I won't tell you who told me. I won't tell you how I was told. Let's just say somebody in my family said, get a job or get out. And so I said, man, I got to get a job. So what do you do when you're looking for a job in 1978? What would you do? You would grab the classifieds back then, and then you would look at them and read them and say, okay, I'm going to find a job. This actually happened. And then I said, you know, I'm going to pray for a job, and I'm going to ask God to bring me a job. Isn't that crazy? Yes, it's crazy. So I closed the newspaper, and I prayed. And I said, Lord, I ask you to bring me a job. I don't know how. I don't know how it should be. I don't know if it's from the past or whatever. Just please bring me a job. Got dressed, walked out my front door in my house in Phoenix, Arizona. Ben, who had a landscaping company and was cutting the right by the front door, as I walked out, said, hey, Dave, you need a job? I said, yes. He goes, okay, you can start tomorrow. Now, I know you're thinking, no, that's exactly what happened. I worked for Ben, by the way, on and off for like the next 2.5 years. Great guy, Christian man, didn't know it at the time. Let me explain something to you. Prayer does work, and faith is real. Even if we, let me say this big theological term, even if we poo-poo it from time to time, God loves genuine faith and responds to it.
Praise the Lord!
There you go. Praise the Lord. I need to get you so many sounds. I just love it. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Thanks for listening to David Spoon on KAAM. Bible trivia is sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Trust the AC coach to take care of your heating and cooling needs. Call or visit him online today at texasairking.com.
Who is David Spoon?
We have on the line Tina from Elkhorn. Tina, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
What, I am doing great.
One, is this the first time you've heard the show?
No, I listen to you every time I get into my car when I leave my job.
Ah, awesome. Thank you very much. Is there anything that we can be praying for just to be in agreement with you regarding anything that the Lord's working on in you?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, fire away.
First of all, I'd like to see my family's hearts turned. Second of all, I am not putting God first and I'm not being obedient in certain ways. Let me sum it up a little bit. I have a boyfriend.
Okay.
I should answer it. So I really need prayer to get back on track with God.
Okay. Let me pray with you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we just come before you right now, and we lift up Tina to you, and we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that first and foremost you would work on her family's hearts, that there'd be a softening and that there'd be a grace and a mercy given to the family and between the relationship that Tina has with the family, and we just pray that your mercy would prevail, and we just pray that you would encourage her. Instead of this being a discouragement, let this become an encouragement that she is a daughter of the Most High seeking out help from her Heavenly Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, here's one of the reasons why I love you guys, okay? Here's one of the reasons. Because I forgot to do the trivia, the answer, because I'm old. Leave me alone. And then I said to T, I forgot to do the trivia, and then she said, You said just do it at the beginning. Do it at the beginning. And at the same time, Eric texted me, don't forget to do the trivia. It's like, it's what I need. I need everybody like, hey, Dave, don't forget this. Hey, Dave, don't forget this. I mean, I'm telling you. I guess when my mom said that thing that if you didn't have your head sewed on, it would have, you know, I thought maybe she was right. All those years.
That one time. Yeah, maybe that was right.
She was right once. That's right. That's funny. The man who has his quiver full of them is happy. What is in the quiver? Children, kiddos. NIV says sons. King James says children. I know you're going to freak out when you hear this, but I think the King James is more accurate in the Hebrew than the NIV. Okay? I mean, I'm just telling you. I think children quiver full of them. The biggest question is how many are in a quiver? And that has been a huge debate of which I am not going to participate in because I don't care. It's just like, hey, you got your quiver full? Great. Okay? That's kind of all that goes to. All right. We got a lot to cover. Again, we want to thank Coach and for all their sponsorship they do. We appreciate it. Let's not forget our website, which is the place where you can give, which we need. It is hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, now. T, remind me before I exit to do the trivia. So when you give me the 2-minute mark, I'm going to do a trivia question then, and then we'll have the answer in the fourth one. Okay, so we're going to end up doing 3 in this hour instead of 4. I know people are like, what? You've changed it? Okay, yeah. In the meantime, and this is, I've been waiting for this since last night. In the meantime, let's talk about history.
Let's go live it.
All Okay, I happen to think that one of these is like one of the great history things of all time. The first thing is National Take the Stairs Day. I don't know how that applies if you're in. I mean, yeah, what does that mean, to take the stairs?
Why, they made escalators.
Yeah. I mean, we used to go to Olympia Stadium, and the place that we would go up to had this really long escalator. And if it was stair-oriented, my mom would definitely have not have made it. So it's like, yeah, that's not happening. It's also National Stickers Day. I like stickers. I like bumper stickers and stuff like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I have one on my car. I have that. Sent a few off to a couple of people, you know. It's pretty straightforward. God created the universe. He can write a book. People read that and look at me. And they turn their head. They tilt their head like, what is wrong with you? Everything. And then here's my favorite on what this day is. It's technically, it's National Rubber Ducky Day. Now, I know T probably doesn't know it the way that a lot of you know it, but Rubber Ducky, you're the one.
You make bath time so much fun.
Rubber Ducky, you're my very favorite one. It's true. Do, 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 do. I love that.
I can't believe you would think I wouldn't know
I
that.
I didn't know that you would know that.
I know that.
Okay. Isn't that a great? It's such a great. It's, like,
it's so catchy.
It's like, wow. That's just so good. For those that really run a really, really go out there, on this day in 1854, the accordion was patented. All you got to do is think of polkas. That's a polka. And they, okay, that's the accordion. And then this is my favorite classic. There's a lot of different things. I'm just going to skip it and just go to this one. 1920, the New York Times, in their infinite wisdom again. So 100 years ago today, or 101 years ago today, the New York Times said, ready? Rockets will never fly in space. This is the people that are telling everybody what the news is. They said 101 years ago, rockets will never fly in space. Never. In 1969, after the Apollo 11 flight, which is about 78 flights later in rockets, then they apologized. It's just like, wait, that's the paper of record. Well, records are no longer around. That's why we have, other things. That's all I'm saying. Oh, those people. Okay, let's get into faith. I want to do this one part of it. It's exceedingly, exceedingly important for you to understand this about faith. So we talked about faith being radical, and you're radical. And we're talking about faith having an expectancy. And so some of you, yeah, well, I have faith, Dave. I have faith. You know, God knows whether the faith is genuine or not. He knows whether you're really having it or you're just saying it. It's not up to me, right? It's like, it's not my call, right? You know whether you have faith. God knows better than you whether you have faith. Here's one thing I want to tell you about faith, though. Faith, listen to this statement. Faith operates, listen, outside of perfection. There is something in the mind of the Christian that has to fight to be able to receive grace. Grace is something that God gives us. Grace actually means unmerited. Okay, you can't earn it. It can't be deserved, right? So you'll hear people on television and movies go, well, I deserve some grace. It's like, no, you can never deserve grace. Okay, grace is unmerited. It doesn't matter what the history is. That's a struggle that Christians have just to receive that for salvation, that grace is given in the process of salvation. It's received by faith, and then it's realized after you receive it by faith, but it's given by grace, unmerited favor. When faith operates for the Christian, when they're praying, when you're praying on a regular daily basis, when you're praying about something really important, again, the same principle is at play. In Galatians 3:5, Paul wrote, so again I ask, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? And it's plain as can be, if you're using a Good News translation or something else, does God work miracles among you? Does he answer your prayers? Does he give you his spirit because you are obedient or because you have faith? And the answer is God does wondrous things because you have faith. And you think, well, you know, a person of faith should have all these different characteristics. Yes, but that doesn't change that you, as a non-perfect being, except for in position, the position that God has put upon you through Christ, that you need to believe to see the great fruits of faith. Right? Faith pleases God. Opens the door. Can I just say this? I'm going to say it. Opens the door for things you cannot anticipate or accomplish. Faith opens that door in ways you cannot even anticipate. As John Piper said, as C.S. Lewis said, and as many other great people have said, God has more tunnels, more methods, more ways, more transports, more delivery systems than any human being could ever, ever imagine. And faith accesses that. So you pray for something and you just, oh, well, whatever. Or you pray for it and you expect it and you know it's a little radical, but you don't sit there and examine yourself to allow the doubt to eliminate the faith. I'm talking practical Christian living. You pray a prayer, you lift it up before the Lord, you walk away, and then you say, hey, I'm not worthy of that one being answered. Wrong. Wrong answer, because that's not what it's based on. It's based on your faith. It's based on your ability to believe. It's based on your ability to believe that God is generous and that he's a giver, not because you're a perfect person. Because you know what? I don't want to break it to you in too many ways, but you're not a perfect person. Except for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you'd be gone. That faith opens doors, creates opportunities for the divine to show provision. That's what you want to be operating in. That's what pleases God. You get that? All right. All right, now I'm going to do my trivia question like I said I'm going to do. Okay? So here's the trivia question. I want to see if everybody can be on top of this. This is a tough one. You can answer if you call in. You're going to have to wait online. I mean, that's kind of our deal right now because I'm doing it a little later just because that's how the show went. Here it is. Which tribe in Israel? Okay, 12 tribes. You got a 1 out of 12 chance of getting this right. Which tribe in Israel had the responsibility of moving the tabernacle? Which tribe in Israel had the responsibility? Now, again, because we're on a hard break, we're going to have to hold you if you call in. Otherwise, you can text in or you can hold. I mean, it doesn't matter, but we do have to take our break because that's how we set the whole thing up. So we're going to take our break now, come back, then we'll answer the trivia question. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. For 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
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 Bazinga. I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to fight
some. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I cannot believe this show actually went by pretty fast, which is kind of a weird thing for me to say. On the line, we have somebody who's going to answer the trivia question. The trivia question was, which tribe of Israel had the responsibility of moving the tabernacle? Here goes my finger. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary.
Hey, Gary. All right. Ready for a trivia answer, are you? Okay. It's a classic. A very important tribe, although they're all important, obviously. But which tribe in Israel had the responsibility of moving the tabernacle?
Well, I'm not certain about this, but was it the Levites?
That is correct, Gary! You are right! 100% correct, of which Aaron, Moses, and Miriam were all Levites. A lot of people don't know that, but they were all of Levi. So excellent job on that answer. You nailed it right down. Perfect job. Perfect.
Thank you.
All right. Excellent job, my brother.
Okay.
Okay. God bless you.
Thank you. Okay. God bless you.
Right. All right. There you go. A lot of you guys got it right on the texting in. That's right, Levite. So keep in mind, Aaron was a Levite, right? That's where the whole tribe for the priests come in. But don't forget that Miriam was Aaron's sister and Moses was Aaron's brother. They were all Levites. You know that there's a trivia question coming down the road about Jesus. You should just know that ahead of time about his descendancy. I'm just saying, you should just know. Okay, we did that. What do we got? The website. Let's do the website, and then we're going to go in for our big finish. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, and then don't forget, if you need to get a hold of me, if you want to text or you want to email, david@hemustincrease.org. If you want to get in touch with me, prayer-wise, just communication-wise, or otherwise, but just do our best to encourage one another as we know the day is approaching. And what is it? One of the things that we say is, it's a lot closer today than it was yesterday. That's all I can say. It's like, is the Lord going to come back soon? Sooner than you think. It's like, you know, we want to be ready. All right, so we've been talking about faith, and I don't want to miss this because, I skipped over a lot because, believe it or not, I I couldn't go in depth with it because of just from her time point of view, it's so funny. I am going to do a 1:30 to 3 whole message where I don't skip over anything. But keep in mind for this perspective on faith, faith is radical, faith is expectant, and faith operates outside of perfection. Faith opens doors. There are ways that God responds to our faith that we have not even imagined how he's put things together. But he requires faith to please him. Now, some people will say, well, why? And here's the best theological answer, because that's the method that God has chosen. God has chosen faith as the vehicle by which to engage with him in. Well, he doesn't have to. Right, he doesn't. But he did. And that's what we've got. And you can either operate by faith under God's system or not. That's the wonderful thing about people who are like, well, it should be like this or it should be like this. Well, when you become God, you switch the system. Until then, be quiet and do what he wants. That's terrible, Dave. Well, I'm a loving guy. I say it lovingly. So, again, faith, radical, expectant, operates outside of perfection, opens doors. Here's another thing, and I'm going to use Jesus' words because he says it better than I do. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show that they should always pray and not give up. He said in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. He's telling a story about a guy that could care less about God. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Now, the primary explanation of when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? The primary explanation has to do with the return of Jesus Christ. But don't misunderstand the context. He's giving a parable on how people should pray and not give up. And they should keep on praying. And they're asking for specifics and for petitions. And Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? And when you pray your prayer and it goes out of your mouth and it goes up to heaven, when God comes to respond to your prayer, will you still have faith when he does? Or did you drop that? Do you get that? You just think, let that sink in for a second. In context, he's talking about how people should pray and not give up. And then he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, again, the primary, without any question, without any doubt whatsoever, has to do with the return of Jesus Christ. But I will just ask this question in general then. When you pray a prayer and the Lord goes to respond, do you still have the faith that you offered the prayer up with? Or has that fallen? This is why prayer is more than a moment. It's a way of life. This is why faith is more than a moment. It's a way of life. This is why hope is more than a moment. It's a way of life. This is why love is more than a moment. It's a way of life. This is why the Christian existence is more than a moment. It's a way of life. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we live by faith, not by sight. We're supposed to live this way. In normal life, if you're driving down the road and you close your eyes when you're driving, what's going to happen? Okay, I'll go out on a limb here. I'll ask T. I haven't told her I was going to ask her. T, if you're going down the 30 or the 30, let's say the 35, and you're driving down the freeway and you close your eyes, what happens?
Like, what do you mean? Like,
what happens to you in your car? If you closed your eyes while you're driving 65 miles an hour, what's going to happen?
Oh, I'm probably going to crash.
You're going to crash! Why? Because you have to see. You have to see in order to go down the road. Well, in Christianity, that driving process requires faith to see. In other words, it's like you're driving in your car of faith and you put your glasses on and you have to see that way in order to see the road. Because I'd like to see it. I don't want to see you, but if you drove down the freeway and you closed your eyes, especially when they merge, you're going to become part of the barrier. Come on. Well, you need to have faith to see, to drive down the roadway that God has intended for you. You got to look at it with faith. If you're a person that has poor eyesight, kind of like I do reading, if I don't put glasses on, I can't read. Okay? You need your Jesus glasses to believe. Put those right ones on so you can see the right thing so it's clear and not everything looks so jumbled. That's actually what happens to me. When I try to read something without my glasses, everything looks like it's smooshed together. When I put my glasses on, I can make that distinction. Put your Jesus faith glasses on in your situation and your circumstance. You live by faith. You don't just momentarily shoot faith up in the air and go, oh, you live by it. And you can't, I know, I don't even, you're sitting there thinking, Dave, that's like pie in the sky. Okay, I'll tell that to Jesus. That's pie in the sky. Because that's what Jesus said to do. And you think, well, where did he say that? Well, we just did Luke 18, 1 through 8. We just did Mark chapter 11, 20 through 24. I didn't even quote Matthew 14, 22 through 31, or Matthew 14, 15 through 21. We didn't even touch Ephesians 3, 20. It's filled with it. It's impossible to please God without faith. Got to walk that way. Yeah. Okay, I'll try and have more faith. No, I want you to live with more faith. Not just have a moment of more faith. Live with it. Wake up with it and go to bed with it. That would be pleasing to God. All the things we try to do, it's like, it's not that many on the list that would really make him happy. But faith, that's one of them. He loves that, okay? All right, you're the greatest audience. I love you guys. Can't believe how fast this went. I'm pretty happy about it. I hope you guys were blessed by some or all of it. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, 22-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.